You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
On March 15th, the BC government passed Bill 22, the Education Improvement Act. The new legislation bans teachers from further strikes for a period of 6 months. It also sets the conditions for mediation. Members of the BC Teachers Federation started their annual general meeting 2 days after Bill 22 became law. The 700 teachers who attended the convention adopted a plan of action to fight the provisions of the Act and ultimately to get it repealed. Jim Eicher is first vice president of the BCTF, and he joins me by phone this morning from Vancouver. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Laurie. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you.
What are the key elements, Jim, of the plan that delegates to the convention agreed upon?
Well, the key elements are that there is a membership membership-wide vote happening on the 17th, 18th, and 19th of April, and some of the pieces of the plan are that the utmost that we will continue teaching, that we will continue doing the work with our students that is necessary to try to meet the needs as we always do. Another aspect of the plan that's been reported is that members will be voting on withdrawing all forms of extracurricular / voluntary activities between or for the rest of the school year. Another aspect of the plan is to launch a public campaign about the impact of Bill 22 and trying to get government to ultimately rethink and repeal it, supporting other types of initiatives that locals may initiate, as well as the possibility of another vote at some later point of time, depending on what happens in this next time period, that there will be possibly another vote on a full withdrawal.
Right. We've been heard also as this whole issue has been developing about this extra pay for teachers to accept students in classes over 30s. Did you address that as part of your plan at convention?
Yeah, that was another one of our recommendations that was passed at the AGM, that teachers would now be accepting any kind of additional pay for oversized classes. That just doesn't fit in with our code of ethics that we're not to benefit from our work with students or the types of conditions that our students have to face in the classroom, and we think that what this government should do is adequately fund public education, adequately fund our schools, and reinstate all the strict provisions on class size, class composition, and learning specialist ratios that they stripped out of our agreements in 2002 that was found to be illegal by the BC Supreme Court in April 2012. And, if those conditions were put back in place, as well as the funding to go with it, then our students can start getting some of the back the necessary resources for their learning and their learning conditions, which is our working conditions.
So Jim, you mentioned that this plan that you adopted at convention would have to go before the teachers province-wide. What will happen if they accept it?
Well, the pieces of the plan that they're voting on, and we're hoping for a strong yes vote, and we think there will be. Then our executive will put the plan in motion on a date that we arrive at.
Now, Education Minister George Abbott said he brought in Bill 22 because he didn't want to see a whole year go by without report cards. Is that what would have happened?
Well, our members were in the classroom teaching. They've been teaching since September. They've been trying to meet the needs of all of our students despite the deteriorating conditions in our classrooms that we've faced for the last 10 years. Teachers have been reporting with parents about the progress of their students all along, and probably in some cases there's probably been more reporting to parents about how their students are doing, because teachers have been conscientious about that part. And we've also been giving out the marks for grade 12 and any kind of course that leads to graduation. So, you know, our grade 12 students were getting marks through principals, because we were, you know, giving those marks to the office. So to say that this was all about students getting report cards, I think is totally false.
Now, Bill 22 is obviously very much a focus right now, but the job action that teachers took in early March actually predated this legislation. Why did teachers walk out initially?
Well, we've been bargaining since March, and teachers actually were on job action since September, and we've been in our classrooms teaching. And so there came a point of time when the government basically introduced passing Bill 22 that we had to take a stand. And all along, our job action has followed the essential services legislation, and essential services said that we were able to take 3 days out of our classroom at that time, and so we exercised our right under essential services. And it came to a point that, you know, Bill 22 is probably the most draconian, anti-democratic bill ever hoisted on teachers in this province, far worse than the Bill 27 and 28 that this government passed in 02 to end our strike back then, which, you know, vaporized 10 local collective agreements that were freely negotiated previously, as well as stripped all the provisions related to class size, class composition, staffing ratio, support for students out of our collective agreement. And as we know, the Supreme Court found what government did in terms of the stripping of our collective agreements was a violation of the Charter, in particular our freedom to of association. And what government did was unconstitutional and invalid and illegal. And what this government did with Bill 22 is word for word the offending legislation that was found to be unconstitutional related to our class sizes, our class composition, and our staffing ratios. They repealed it, and then they put it back word for word in Bill 22. So, you know, they just flaunt the justice system, this government.
You've mentioned the class size and the staffing ratio. What other aspects of the Bill 22 concern you most?
Well, there are a number of pieces that concern us. First of all, what I just said on the class size. Plus, this government in 2005 passed what was called at that time Bill 33 after our 2005 strike, when they again imposed another contract on us. What they did is they put class size limits into the School Act for grades 4 to 7. They also capped the number of students with individual education plans that could be in classrooms at 3. They put in procedures where teachers or principals and teachers were to consult about the nature of their classroom and the conditions in the classroom. And they also put in that there had to be averages for kindergarten, 1 to 3, 4 to 7, 8 to 30, and the class size averages, as well as requirements for superintendents to report on the class size, class composition every year in the school district. And what this government did with Bill 22 is it also took away all the other protections that they had put in law for students. So not only have they continued the illegality of Bills 27 and 28, they further eroded any other protections and resources for students through Bill 22. And, you know, part of that is to save money for government. We know that in the budget announcement for next year, our schools are going to be short at least another $100 million, if not more. And the one way they're going to be able to do that is by they took out any other further restrictions on class size, class comp. So, you know, we've had a decade of eroding conditions in our classroom, and Bill 22 will continue that further erosion. So that's another major aspect that people need to be aware of what this government did with Bill 22, as well as what they've done is they've basically taken away our right to strike, and what they've done is virtually imposed a two-year contract on us through a sham mediation process.
Well, let's talk about the mediation process, because Charles Jago, the former president of the University of Northern British Columbia, was appointed as mediator a couple of days ago. What's your response to the government's choice there?
Well, you know, again, government is choosing one of their own to so-called mediate. He does not have any kind of formal mediation training or formal mediation experience in the labor relations realm at all, and that concerns us. It concerns us that you know, he did contribute to government fundraising activities for the Liberals, and that has strong ties to you know, the current government in power. And, you know, we were asked to submit two names, and we submitted two names, two judges, Ian Donald and Stephen Kelleher. And government didn't even seriously look at that piece. And, you know, what they've done in terms of this sham mediation process is they've appointed someone who doesn't really have the background or the skill, and what they've done is they've basically legislated what he can do and can't do in terms of the terms of reference. They've said that the net zero mandate is now carved in law, so he has no ability to deal with a wage increase for us, you know, like a COLA. They've restricted our right to, again, bargain class size, class composition, learning specialist ratios, so there's no ability to negotiate that. Any of our objectives, basically, they've legislated away, and they've imposed the government's objectives in legislation, where part of his terms of reference is he has to deal with the three of the most contentious contract stripping piece from government in this round of bargaining, dealing with our seniority and post and fill layoff and recall, our evaluation, as well as our professional autonomy and professional development. And so they've legislated that piece, and then they've put restrictions on the other piece on the round on the split of issues.
So Jim, this whole thing has been, like, it's often framed in the mainstream media as, you know, teachers have it pretty good. They want more money. How do you, if you could convey a single message to people about what the teachers' struggle is about, what would you say?
Well, the teacher struggle is about trying to meet the needs of all of our students in the best way they can, and feeling supported by government in doing that, feeling respected by government in doing that. And a part of the respect in terms of doing our work is ensuring that we have the resources, the tools, the learning conditions and working conditions in place that we can do our job as effectively as possible, because it is all about the students. And part of that also, you know, is a wage increase as well as preparation time. You know, we know that our colleagues across Canada are paid way higher than we are, and so what we were asking for is a very modest catch-up. You know, we're asking for a COLA, and we know there's public support that public service workers should be able to get COLA, and we were also looking for a minor market adjustment. similar to what happened in Saskatchewan, where the government recognized that teachers in Saskatchewan were behind teachers in Manitoba and Alberta, and they worked out a way on how they could start moving those salaries up. So that's about respecting the work that we do in our classrooms and respecting the work that we do also in our communities.
How can people support teachers right now?
Well, you know, teachers, people can, you know, write their school boards, asking school boards to pass motions, asking government to repeal Bill 22. You know, the public can be going to their MLAs, asking their government to repeal Bill 22 and actually put in a mediation process with no strings attached and let a mediator do their job and try and bring both sides to a fair agreement.
It's been good talking to you this morning, Jim.
You're welcome. Good talking to you, Lorraine. Take care, eh?
Bye now. I've been speaking with Jim Eicher. He's the first vice president of the BC Teachers Federation.